What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another live edition of the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse, and we're winding down the end of the semester this year. So we only have a few more shows left, and a lot of the sports are really getting to playoffs. So there's not really much new things to talk about. A lot of the players are going to be injured. Or not injured, out of contention of the playoffs, because, as you know, there's only 8 teams on each side that make it, which is 16 in total, and that's about half the league that's gone. So people who do play the fantasy basketball playoffs will get some good intel today. And we will be able to also talk about what we usually do, baseball and hockey, then close up as we usually do on the show with a recap. So let's just get right into it. So as usual, we're going to start off with fantasy basketball, and Kevin Durant, of course, is at the top of the list. He's been really putting in some good work for the team, and he finished off with averaging 32 points a game this season, which is unbelievable. I mean, he's just broke Michael Jordan's record for most consecutive games with 25 points in every single game. Just broke that streak, and he's still going. He's pretty sure he's going to get the scoring title if he keeps this up through the next season. I mean, I really think that if Westbrook could stay healthy, and they could make such a great playoff run this year with their ability and their team, I mean, they could really, really do some tremendous things, and they could get to the championship game and probably pretty sure win the finals this year if they put in all that dedication and hard work. Then next we have Carmelo Anthony. He is out. He is their team's also out of the playoffs, but I mean, Melo is out because of the shoulder injury that he suffered. And after another excellent season for the Knicks, he averages 27.4 points a game and a career high 8.1 rebounds, 3.1 assists, and 2.2 three-pointers and 1.2 steals over 77 games. And at the end of Anthony's season was marred with a shoulder injury, but I mean, all you owners out there could certainly, you just cannot complain about the production he provided this year. He has the ability to opt out of his contract this summer, and although he'll be a valuable fantasy asset wherever he signs, there is still a chance his production could decline some next season if he signs with a more talented team. So just keep an eye out for Melo for that next season coming up. Then we have LeBron James, he's LeBron James. He's averaged 27.1 points a game this season, and I mean, the Heat, they're taking on the Bobcats first round, which is not even a big thing. I mean, it's the Bobcats. How do you really expect even those two teams to compare? I mean, Miami Heat coming and going for their third straight NBA Finals championship, while the Bobcats are in eighth in the playoff seeding, and they're probably just going to get smashed. Although I really do hope that the Bobcats could pull something and win this series. If the Bobcats could win this series, oh man, that would be so huge for the Bobcats organization and Michael Jordan. Because although Kevin Durant stole his record, it doesn't mean that. It would just be a good gesture for Michael Jordan if he could just have something good come this year. And I think that if the Bobcats do somehow end up pulling off this upset, that they will be able to go fairly far. And because, I mean, once you defeat the number one seed, then everybody else just seems like it's nothing. I mean, anything could be possible. Anything is possible. I mean, that's really the beauty of playoffs. Anything could happen, just like in March Madness. I mean, you never know who's going to be able to come up and just win the game. I mean, you really never know. And then next we have Kevin Love, and it went for 26 points. And the Timberwolves are, I don't know, I think that they need to do a little reconstructing coming up. But Kevin Love has always been a top five player. I mean, he's such a great, tremendous athlete. And I think that his abundance on the court and how much he shows up every place. He's always in the right place at the right time to hit that jumper, to drive the lane and be in the post or get the rebound. He's just always where he needs to be, and he's a workhorse out there for that team, and he's really, really useful in the way that they facilitate the ball in the Minnesota Timberwolves organization. Kevin Love is just such an outstanding athlete and the level that he performs at on the court for this Minnesota Timberwolves team is just phenomenal. And then we have Blake Griffin, and Blake Griffin, he did all right in his show against the Golden State Warriors in Game 1, but they're going to need to really pull themselves together when they get to these deeper rounds, because you can't really just rely on your big men to put in all the work. I mean, Chris Paul had a sloppy turnover. They just really need to get together. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but the Los Angeles Clippers have never won a championship. The farthest that they got, I think, they haven't really gotten that far, but they never won a championship, and it's just fascinating. However, our next player that we're going to be talking about, who is Stephen Curry, he plays for the Golden State Warriors, and they are in this together. They're playing each other, and the Golden State Warriors have 3 championships, their last one coming in 75, and last season they lost in the Western Conference semis. But Stephen Curry is averaging 24 points a game in the regular season. I mean, he is just such an outstanding player. And just the way that he can play and the way that he sees the floor is just insane. He's just such a great player. And he is also a very young player, so he still has a lot more time to be playing. I mean, like, he's only late 20s, if that, like maybe early 20s, but he's very young and he's playing at such a high capacity already that he's just going to be able to go so much farther in his career. Like, he's has not even peaked yet. And then we have next my boy James Harden of the Houston Rockets, who should have beat Portland last night but didn't, unfortunately. Oh, and happy Easter to everybody out there if you celebrate it. It was I had a good time. Easter's fun. So James Harden played yesterday on Easter against the Portland Trailblazers, starting off the series, and they sent in overtime. However, the Houston Rockets could not pull out in the very end, and they had to lose. But, I mean, they're only down one game, although they did lose at home, which is always very tough to do when you're in the playoffs. But James Harden will be able to bounce back and get his teammates. He's such a great leader. And he facilitates the ball very nicely while still putting up great numbers. He's averaged 25.4 points a game this season. And he's averaging 38 minutes. So he's always in the game and he's always facilitating the ball. Great player. His vision on the court, as well as his hand-eye coordination to get the ball and do things with it that are helpful for the team, is just what makes him such a great athlete and a great player. His ability to drive the lane is also another tremendous aspect of his basketball playing. Because to be able to drive the lane and finish and get that and one foul on a consistent basis is something that not a lot of players can do. You'll see them go and they'll flop or they can't finish strong. But James Harden really drives the lane, and he has a nice little Euro step that he actually puts on. And he can finish with his left or right hand, which just makes him such a dangerous and agile player when he's inside the paint. But the fact is that James Harden, even when he gets to the free throw line, he could still hit the free throw. So even if he misses that basket, he'll still get the 2 points from hitting both free throws, because he's such a tremendous all-around player. On the season, he shot .88866 from the free throw line, which is very good. It's almost hitting 9 out of every 10 free throws. So that's enough with James Harden. Sorry, such a great player. I could not talk about him. So next we have DeMar DeRozan, who's on Toronto. And DeMar DeRozan finished with 22.7 points a game. And he is playing. He's also very young. He is It doesn't say. He's very young, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he's in his couple 5 years. But he's been doing very well for this team. DeMar DeRozan, he scored 9 points to go along with 5 rebounds and 22 minutes in their New York loss on Wednesday night, which was their last game of the regular season. And his DeMar DeRozan, I don't really trust him that much. I think that he's pretty inconsistent with his playing style, and I don't know. I just think he's a really sketchy player. And then we have Paul George next. And Paul George is, I mean, as you know, he's one of the greatest. He's very young, up-and-comer player. He's very good with the ball. He could shoot from the parking lot, and he could drive the lane and also get the contact. So all around, he's just a great player as well. And the Pacers team is also, they lost, actually, to the Hawks. And I don't know if, I think the Hawks might actually pull this series out, but we'll have to see. Unfortunately, we do not have enough time to get into any more detail, but this is the Fantasy Nest. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse, and I'll be right back with Fantasy Baseball after this quick break. Stay with us. And I started out of town, yeah. Welcome back, everybody, to another live edition of the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse, And breaking into this next segment, we're going to be talking about a little fantasy baseball. Gotta love baseball. And we are on to the third baseman today. And coming in number one is no big surprise. His name is Miguel Cabrera. He plays for the Detroit Tigers. And he's arguably the most skilled hitter in the game today, probably. Cabrera in 2013 came within a Chris Davis power surge, specifically within the 9 home runs and 1 RBI of Davis, of a second consecutive triple crown. I mean, triple crown by itself is so difficult to get, and he almost got him back to back. And something that no player in baseball has ever done. He's insane. Cabrera's elite and balanced numbers in those three categories, which comprise 3/5 of the standard rotisserie departments, are unrivaled. He has led all major leaguers in batting averages in 2 of the past 3 years, in 2011 and 2013, and the RBIs in the 2 past 4 years, 2010 and 2012, and home runs in 2012. In the past 5 seasons combined, he batted 7 points higher, hit 17 more home runs, and drove in 52 more runs than anybody else. That's what's more impressive, despite this, is that he missed only 13 of the Detroit Tigers' final 89 games, playoffs included. So not only is he getting healthy again, but he's also performing at such a level that he was when he won the Triple Crown and almost did it again in back-to-back seasons. So Miguel Cabrera is a very, very good third baseman. He's for sure a first-rounder, for sure in the top 5. I really think that he's one of the greatest players to be like in the game right now. Like, he's for sure up there. And like, the third basemen are so stacked in the major leagues, because next we have Adrian Beltre, and then third's David Wright, Evan Longoria. I mean, the names just keep going on. I think that there's so many great third basemen that you really should sleep on third basemen a little bit. I'd pick them like a, I want to say second or third round, because I really think that pitchers are pretty important. For all of you who haven't drafted yet, there's many draft kits on the ESPN website, so don't really get too alarmed. But anyways, back to Adrian Beltre. Out of position with many popular occasions, overrated name brands, Beltre is an old reliable fact. He is the only third baseman to have managed at least a .275 batting average, 25 home runs and 75 RBIs in each of the past 3 seasons. And be aware that he has easily eclipsed those numbers with a .312, .333, .100 average stat line during that 3-year span. While it might not seem as if he's classed to the of the position, those statistics should cement it. Oh, I was just attacked by a bug. Got him. Adrian Beltre has been such a phenomenal player for this Texans ball club, and he has really been able to produce and put up those huge numbers that you really need to see. He's been able to show up at the ballpark and just do what he does, and that's just hit the ball, scoring runs. They have him going for 10 more RBIs than they had him last year with under 80 strikeouts. So I would really consider Adrian Beltre to be a very safe third baseman, along with all the other third basemen on here. If you're in the top 10, I mean, like, you'll be fine. So number third, we have David Wright, and one of the most complete rotisserie performers in baseball. He has a .301 career batting average, and he averaged 26 home runs, 103 RBIs, 22 stolen bases, and 101 runs scored per the 162 games played. Wright has been one limitation preventing a run at the very top tier of fantasy studs. His injury history, however, he's made three trips to the D-League in the past 5 seasons, missing 17% of the New York Mets scheduled games during the time span. making the question valid. Wright's power is also slightly capped by a result of his spacious home ballpark. That's despite the 2011 fence adjustments, which keeps him a hair behind more proven third baseman eligible like Miguel Cabrera or Adrian Beltre. So I really think that he's going to be in the top 20 overall players, and I really think that David Wright's going to be another great player and that he should be valued just like the other two players mentioned, Adrian Beltre and Miguel Cabrera, I'm sorry. So number four, we have Evan Longoria, and he's Tampa Bay Rays third baseman. And even in the injury-prone case that the most miraculous healthy of seasons, as Longoria did in 2013, he set a career high with 160 games played and played 693 plate appearances. That's so many at-bats. They have him going for 600 at-bats this year. He gets up to bat so many times, and he just does so well with every at-bat that he gets. Although, they do say that he will be striking out 144 times. That is what they have him projected for. However, I think that his eye is much better than that, and that he will not be able to get that high of a strikeout count. Hopefully, it's much less. But I think it's going to be 115 max, I would say. So then number five, we have your Oakland A's Josh Donaldson. And he's one of 2013's biggest breakout stories. Donaldson's success dates back to the final month of 2012. A small hint that he might not be a mere one-year wonder. From 2010 to 2013, he played a near identical number of games at both the AAA, 252, and Major Leagues with 247. And look at how similar his numbers are. He had 270, 354, and 486 batting rates in AAA, and he had 277, 350, and 460 in the majors. So they're just very slightly staggered, very slightly staggered. And those batting averages do show potential for regression, I'm sorry. But in Donaldson's defense, his walk rate gains last season gives hope it'll be minimal. While his power probably shouldn't suffer, he's a player who succeeded as a result of growth, not some fluky result. It's time to trust him, and I think that he's going to be a very big building block in all scoring formats, targeting him in either the early rounds. I think that he will be very good in those early rounds because the way that the ESPN has him projected for is that he's going to come out and he's just going to kick butt this year. So I really do believe that. I think that Josh Donaldson will be able to perform at a very high level this year and give the Oakland A's what they need and your fantasy team what they need as well. So number six, we have Ryan Zimmerman. And although Zimmerman's 2012-2013 shows a much more consistent 2080-2585 performer than fantasy hunters tend to give him credit for, his critics do raise important points. Injuries have long been an issue. He averaged 133 games during the past six seasons. His eroding defense at third base leads legitimacy to chatter that the Washington Nationals might eventually shift him across the diamond to the first base position, and both his strikeout and swing and miss rates have risen in the back-to-back seasons. However, Zimmerman retains his third base eligibility, and he'll probably keep it at least through 2015 too. Meaning that, once again, he should settle as a top 10 mixed league third baseman and top 75 overall player picked. At this stage of his career, however, any upside from that status might be gone. And then seven, we have Matt Carpenter. And Matt Carpenter has been putting up some very good numbers. He's been a patient line drive hitter with one of the most keen batting eyes in baseball. He can really see the ball very well. And whenever he gets around to the plate and he can really see the ball and just connect and just drive that ball as far as possible. And Carpenter became a fantasy dynamo during a breakout 2013 campaign, finishing third on the player rater at his field position and 34th overall. Putting up great numbers like this while earning high ratings at the three spot, at which he carried over qualifications from 2012, just putting up great numbers for the team and also for his own, for himself as well, and for your fantasy team. So I do believe in Matt Carpenter. I think that he will be able to perform. Number eight, we have Kyle Seager. And Kyle Seager, even with the fence adjustments at Safeco Field last season, Seager still couldn't capitalize in terms of power. And it's worth a debate as to whether he'd vault into the upper tier of fantasy third basemen if he wasn't a member of the Seattle Mariners. His road numbers are tantalizing. He's 289, 345, 491 hitter, including 32 of his 45 career home runs, away more in the matchups than breakout candidates bid. That said, he's a fourth-year big leaguer, age 26, meaning his prime years have arrived, and he'll really be able to put out some great numbers for this upcoming season. Then for number nine, we have Aramis Ramirez, and he plays for the Milwaukee Brewers. I know they're really missing, or they're really loving Ryan Braun right now. And a knee injury held back Ramirez back for most of the 2013 campaign, so it'd be understandable if his prospective fantasy owners had some doubts about him entering his age 36 season. That said, following a midseason DL stint of the injury, he managed 301, 387, and 528 rates in the final 38 games, restoring hope of another top 10 fantasy season along third baseman. Ramirez enters camp healthier as he did a year ago, so it's fair to grant him a mulligan for his injury marred in 2013. But as he's entered the latter stages of his career, a 290 batting average and 25 home runs might be a limit. After spraining his knee in spring training last year, Ramirez went on the DL twice for an injury in April and July and tweaked it in September to end his season. So I don't really know if he's that trustworthy, but I mean, I would take a shot on him than the later players. Then finally, we have Pedro Alvarez, and Alvarez is your classic feast or famine slugger, and he's had the capability to lead the majors in home runs, but also in strikeouts. He does get a lot of strikeouts. They have him projected for 185 this year, nearly 200. And he had 186 last year, so they have him going one strikeout less this year than last year. But, I mean, 185 is a lot of strikeouts. But don't label this guy as a fastball-crushing Pedro Serrano. Alvarez has belted 15 home runs off curveballs and sliders the past two seasons combined. The particular skills improvement responsible of vaulting him into the upper tier of the power hitting in baseball. Owning Alvarez is a matter of balancing your assets. So just, but I think that Pedro Alvarez is going to be getting a lot of strikeouts. I do think that that's going to happen. I don't really know if he's that trustworthy, but I would still say that he'd be a good player to choose. I mean, he's a top 10 third baseman, and I think that he's going to be able to produce those big numbers that you really need to see. And that will do it for us here at the end of the Fantasy Baseball segment. I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse, and you're listening to The Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. Only on radio.dominican.edu. And we'll be right back after this with the fantasy hockey segment. And we're also going to throw in a little live coverage of some ESPN fantasy hockey playoffs right now going on. The Penguins are playing right now. So we'll get in on that and we'll be checking out everything right after this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
and she don't try to hide it. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. And he's a poor boy. Empty as a pocket now. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na.
Ta-na-na,
ta-na-na, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Sing ta-na-na,
ta-na-na,
ta-na-na, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted because I'll please you wearing these diamonds." I could say woo, as if everybody knows what I'm talking about, as if everybody here would know what I was talking about. Talking about diamonds on the soles of your shoes.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. My name is DJ Roughhouse, and I'm your host, and this is radio.dominican.edu. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. So we are into the final sports segment of the show. It's the third segment in total. We have the recap after this, but this is the part of the show where we talk about fantasy hockey, and there's actually a live game right now, and it is being played by the Penguins, and let me see if I can get it. There we go. And it is being it is the Pittsburgh Penguins and the CBJ, and in case you guys don't know what CBJ is, it's the Columbus Crew. And they are the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they are losing right now to the Penguins, thank goodness gracious. The Penguins are up 4-3 with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left, and I really hope that the Penguins can pull this one out, because I'm a huge Penguins fan. And there was a penalty on James Wisniewski, and he's 2 minutes for slashing. And there really has not been much. We'll take a look at the stats. And there's been 41 shots on goal by the Penguins compared to a mere 19. Wow, that is a huge difference in shots. However, Penguins are getting dominated on hits, where they have exactly half. They have 31. And they have lost in faceoffs as well. The goals scored today are by Orpik. He has one of the goals. Stempnik and Brian Sutter. And then Mata has the final goal. While Paul Martin has two assists, so he's been the facilitator today. And I really hope that they could pull it out. But anyways, back to what we usually talk about on the show, which is the player news. Starting off with Ryan Miller of the St. Louis Blues. And Miller will start in goal Friday against the Stars. So hopefully Miller could do well and get the W for them. And then we have Joel Ward starting right winger for Washington Capitals. And Ward supplied a goal and two assists in Thursday's 5-2 victory over the Hurricanes. So it really is very reassuring for all you Joel Ward owners, because to have a goal and two assists, that's partaking in quite a bit of the gameplay of the game. And then Trevor Smith, who was reassigned to the AHL of Toronto on Friday by the Toronto Maple Leafs. They don't really want to have to deal with him, so they sent him back to the AHL. Then we have Jimmy Howard of the Detroit Red Wings, and Howard will be in goal in Friday's game against the Hurricanes. So do start Jimmy Howard if you have him. And then Patrice Bergeron, and he's a Boston Bruins player. And he sat out Thursday's shootout loss to the Jets with what was described as an undisclosed minor injury, the Bruins official stat report. So Patrice, don't know if he's really going to be able to continue playing, but if they do have faith in him, I'm not really sure, but I think if they do, he will get the start back and he will be able to provide for his team and they'll be able to be fine. And then we have Lars Eller, and he's a Montreal Canadiens player, and Eller has an illness and will not be playing in Saturday's season finale, John Liu of the TSN Montreal reports. So Eller is out indefinitely. Do not start him. Pick up another center. The backup is probably going to be good because they are pretty deep in their team, the Canadiens are. Then we have Travis Moen, and he's a Montreal Canadian left winger. And Moen has a concussion, and he skated Thursday, but is unlikely to play in Saturday's season finale. So I would also count him out. There's a lot of Montreal Canadian injuries going on right now, so they're not looking too good. There's another one right now. Brandon Prust of the Montreal Canadiens are hopeful that Prust has an upper body injury, that he will be ready to play when the postseason begins next week. And that was of April 11th, so they really are looking to see if he can get in and get some reps and get playing. And then, Salane for the Anaheim Ducks is expected to announce his retirement at the end of the season. He had such a great year, and he's just such a great athlete, and he played so well for this Anaheim Ducks team. Of all the times that he played, he had a lot of shots on goal recently. He had 3 in his most recent regular season game. And he doesn't really score that much. He only had 9 goals on the season, but he does get a lot of assists. He had 18. And on total, he had 111 shots on goal, and to only have 9 goals is very slim. It really puts in perspective how slow, or how few goals there are when it comes down to it. It's just fascinating. Then we have Alex Stalock, and he's a San Jose Sharks player, and Stalock will start on Friday for the Sharks, so he is going to be playing. Go Kings. Sorry, I have to say it. LA, go Kings. Kings for life. Kings and Penguins for my 2 teams. That's all you really need. And then we have Mika Libanzic, and he's a Ottawa Senator player. And he will not play in the Senators' final 2 games. He has an undisclosed issue. don't think that he's going to be making it for playoffs either. It's just really hard to tell, you know, like who's going to be okay to go, because these guys are just so tough that it's very hard to be able to pick and choose who's going to be able to do what. So let's go back to the, the Penguins game just went final. The Penguins won in the end 4-3. Thank gosh. Go Penguins. It's your birthday. You're going to party like it's your birthday. So the Penguins now lead the series 2-1. And they took a very turn of events because they were down 3-1. And then the Penguins just scored 3 goals very quickly in the third period. And now they're just, they took that game because of their unfortunate mistakes. And now they're up in the series 2-1. So let's see how this next game goes. And it's just insane that they were down 3-1 in the third. And then they just gave it away. It's so crazy how a team can just stop playing like that. It's like they're there at 1 second and they just disappear. But anyways, that will do it for this final segment. Stay with us. We'll be coming back with the very final segment of the show. And it is going to be talking about the recap for everybody who missed something. So I am DJ Roughhouse. You're listening to The Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports, only on radio.dominican.edu. And stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody, to this very final segment of The Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. My name, DJ Roughhouse, and we are going to be finishing up this show, as we usually do, with the recap of the three segments that we've just previously talked about. So beginning with it, we did start out, as we usually do, with fantasy basketball. And in the fantasy basketball, since there were no games going on, we went back over who the players were that did the best over this season and who we should talk about of going into next season of who is really great. So mainly what we had Kevin Durant, of course, who was up there. He's a very tremendous athlete, surpasses Michael Jordan for the most consecutive 25-point or plus points in a game consecutively. And then Carmelo Anthony came in next with 27.4 points a game. And he is maybe leaving and going to another team. And how that affects his fantasy value is a little different, because he could show up to this new team and just be phenomenal. He just could dominate and be phenomenal for this team. Or he could do terribly. And, I mean, you just really never know. But I do have a lot of confidence in Melo. I mean, he went to Syracuse University, the Go Orange, and you just never really know what could happen, but I think Melo will bounce back and he'll be a great player next year. And then we have LeBron James, and OBJ, as you know, is just already a tremendous athlete. He may be leaving as well, and I think that LeBron is going to be staying in Miami for a while, actually, I think. And I think that they may actually get this third repeat if the Rockets don't stop them. But I think that they're just so deep on the bench, you just, it's so hard to stop them. Then we talked about Kevin Love a little bit and how he has a tremendous ability on the court. He can get the boards, he could shoot the three, he could drive the lane. He's just an all-around great athlete. And then Blake Griffin came into the mix, and I mean, it's Blake Griffin. What can you really say? Just, you just hear his name and you just know, man, he just sounds like this guy just yams on the court, just dunk super hard. Sorry, people don't know the lingo, yam. It's like just to throw down and some nasty dunks. But I mean, yeah, he could just bang really hard. He's just a great athlete, so strong, so physical. Then Steph Curry was next, and his ability to shoot the three ball just on point so many times. As much as I hate him, I just have to give him respect. He's just such a great player. You just have to acknowledge the fact that he could shoot the ball very well, and you have to go out and guard him. I mean, you can't just leave him there. And then we talked about, finally, was James Harden. Well, we talked about DeMar DeRozan and Paul George, but I'm not really going to get into them. I mean, it's Paul George, and DeMar DeRozan's kind of a sleeper. You don't really know. But James Harden, I mean, what a player. His ability to drive the lane, hit him with the Euro, finish with his left or right. His dynamic ability to come onto the court and just be able to finish at the rim, so strong, so physical, it just makes him such a utilized player for this Houston Rockets team that it's just so hard to not see that you need to step up and you need to guard this man. You need that weak side help coming in the paint, and if there's not going to be there, he's going to destroy you every single time. And even if you're sagging off too much waiting for him to drive, he'll just hit that three right in your face. I mean, he's just such a dangerous player. It's insane, his skill set. And then we went to fantasy baseball, which is another great segment. I mean, I love all three of these segments the same. But, oh, man, fantasy baseball. I just love baseball. So coming in first was no big shocker. It was Miguel Cabrera, and he's just such a it's Miguel Cabrera. I mean, you hear his name, and you just know. I mean, he's arguably one of the most skilled hitters in the game today. Obviously, his ability and what he's done on the field is just so extraordinary, winning almost triple crowns in back-to-back years, something that's never been done before. I mean, that would have been such a huge record, but he did get a triple crown. But if he got that second triple crown in consecutive years, there would be so much speculation, I think, that he would have been juicing. But I really think that that's just raw power and skill. Then next we had Adrian Beltre. And at his position, with many popular, occasionally overrated name brand, Beltre is an old reliable, as I did say earlier. And he is just such a great player for this team. He's able to hit the long ball. He's able to drive in players while keeping a very low strikeout rate and getting on base a lot. And he gets 630 at-bats, which is just insane. So he's also another great player, and we recommend him being a starter for your team, obviously. But I don't really think he's going to be a first-rounder because there's so many other players that you could pick up instead of him. Then third, we had David Wright, and he's one of the most complete rotisserie performers in the game. He could just hit at every single position. He's just so great at each one. Just in each category of the fantasy baseball aspects, he can just hit. He could field. He could get on base. He could. He's the whole package. And it just that's what makes him so great at his position, that he can just hit. He could hit the deep ball, and he could also hit the ball into the gaps and get people in. He's an amazing player. Then we have Evan Longoria of the Tampa Bay Rays, and he actually went to my college. Or not my college. He went to the college that I was going to go to. He went to my home school college of Cal State Long Beach, and I grew up there. But Evan Longoria, even though he's injury-prone, he can have the most miraculous and healthy season, as he did in 2013. He set a career high with 160 games played. He's just a tremendous athlete, such a great player. Then we have Josh Donaldson, who I think is going to be a very good sleeper. Although he is in the top 10, I still think he's going to be a sleeper for the team, because, I mean, not really people know of him. Although, all you Oakland A's fans out there, shout out to the Bay Area for supporting Oakland A's, even though they're such a terrible team. Sorry. So I think that Josh Donaldson will be a great third baseman this year, and he'll be able to produce for this team and just put out those numbers that they're looking for. And then coming in sixth, we have Ryan Zimmerman. And although Zimmerman in 2012 and 2013 shows a much more consistent as a performer of fantasy owners, they tend to give him credit. And I think that his critics do raise important points. Injuries have long been an issue for him, averaging only 133 games during the past six seasons. His rotting defense at the third base lends legitimacy to chatter that the Washington Nationals might eventually shift him across the diamond and take up that first base spot. And he does strike out a lot, though, however. But, I mean, Ryan Zimmerman is just such a great player. How can't you start him? And then 7th is Matt Carpenter, 8th is Kyle Seager, 9th is Aramis Ramirez, and then 10th is Pedro Alvarez. And I just want to touch on Pedro Alvarez really quick. And he had a little knee injury that held him back in 2013. But I think that, oh, I'm sorry. I want to talk about Aramis Ramirez, and he had the knee injury, sorry, back in 2013, and it'd be understandable if his prospective fantasy owners had some doubt about him entering his age at 36 season. I mean, he's very old. So what I wanted to warn you guys about Aramis Ramirez is that I think that he's not going to be able to put out those big numbers like you really want him to see. I think that he's going to get injured, and he's not going to be able to play that much, and he's going to be a waste of a pick. And then when you try to trade him for high, nobody's going to want him because he's going to be injured. So if you do get him, I would say trade him, and maybe somebody will believe that he's going to do good. But I personally do not think that he's going to be able to produce those big numbers, and I don't think that he's going to be able to do well for this team. Although they do have him jumping up 200 more batting attempts, I think that he's not going to be able to do that well with those batting attempts, because I just don't think he's going to be able to stay healthy. And then finally, we have the fantasy hockey segment. And we did cover some of the fantasy hockey playoff games. We can, the Pittsburgh Penguins game. Got to cover the Penguins because, I mean, it's Penguins. How don't you love Penguins? DU Pride. And the Pittsburgh Penguins did end up winning in the end. The funny thing was is that they were down 3-1 in the third period, and then they scored three unanswered goals back-to-back-to-back, and they ended up winning the game 4-3. So a miraculous turnaround for their team and a miraculous win for their organization. They took the lead now, so now they're up 2-1 in the series going into their fourth game now. So I think that I really think that the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to be able to be a force to reckon with, and hopefully they could win this Stanley Cup this year, because that would be phenomenal. And I talked about some players also as well. Some players were going to be starting for others, like the Patrice Bergeron. He sat out Thursday's shutout loss. This was back in April 11th. But I think they're going to be able to, the Boston Bruins, they are very injured and they need to get more players back around. So that will do it for me at the Fantasy Nest. I'm your host, DJ Roughhouse. You are listening to the Fantasy Nest, your nest for the best fantasy sports. And you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Please stay tuned for this next hour. It's going to be my very good friend, DJ Liberty, talking about his show, Political Row. It's a great show. You guys should all stick around and listen to it. And that will be it for me today. Shout out to everybody who's listening to my show. Thank you all. Have a good night.